Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, good evening. Hello, Steele. I'm sorry I'm a little late starting up tonight. excuse me. I have a slight hoarse throat, so I wanted to apologize. But I'm going to read something tonight that I hope delights you as it does me. I've had more fun reading this book than I can remember reading anything. Maybe Dr. Seuss when I was a kid, but that was always fun. But this is kind of like that, kind of like Dr. Seuss, if you will. Only because it hits Rumi is absurd. His whole philosophy is absurdity. It's beyond anything that you and I can imagine, and he can't even explain it himself, though he does a beautiful job of trying to. And his connection to God and the universe was so complete. Can think of Sufi as a feather sent to a pure light feather sent to you to playing underneath your chin and around your hair, something like that. You know, where that is just teasing you and feeling delightfully sensuous, and at the same time thought provoking and filled with wisdom. And that his means of communication as a poet. Is remarkable, and is to this day. He was born in, I think, 1247 A.D. and died. I think he died in around 60s. I think it was. But I'll have that date in a few seconds. But before I say that, let me find it here. Just a wonderful work. I've been so pleased to have been able to read. Again, believe it or not, I read this once before and many years ago, and it didn't really do what it did for me now. And reading it over again, and I wanted to, it was so wonderful, I wanted to share it with my audience. I'll tell you just in a second. just as an introduction to Rumi, I wanted to read. I'm reading from the Essential Rumi, R-U-M-I, translations by Coleman Barks with John Moyne, M-O-Y-N-E, and Coleman Barks and John Moyne. And these two gentlemen have written quite the translation and organized the work beautifully. I'm going to read from the book here just now. Just so you can hear how this began. The Essential Rumi. The morning wind spreads its fresh smell. We must get up and take that in. And wind that lets us live, breathe before it's gone. Dance when you're broken open. Dance if you've torn the bandage off. Dance in the middle of the fighting. Dance in your blood. Dance when you're perfectly free. Jalaluddin Rumi was born in the year 1207 and until the age of 37 was a brilliant scholar and popular teacher. But his life changed forever when he met the powerful wandering dervish, Shams of Tabriz, of whom Rumi said, "What I had thought of before as God, I met today in a human being." And from this mysterious and esoteric friendship came a new height of spiritual enlightenment. When Shams disappeared, Rumi began his transformation from scholar to artist, and his poetry began to fly. Today, the ecstatic poetry of Jalaluddin Rumi is more popular than ever, and Coleman Barks, through his musical and magical translations, has been instrumental in bringing this exquisite literature to devoted followers. Now, for the first time, Barks has gathered this essential poems of Rumi and put them together in this wonderful comprehensive collection that delights with playful energy and unequaled passion. The essential Rumi offers the most brilliant rendering of the primary poetry of Rumi to both devoted enthusiasts and novice readers. Poems about everything from bewilderment, emptiness, and silence to flirtation, elegance, and majesty are presented with love, humor, warmth, and tenderness. Take in the words of Jalaluddin Rumi and feel yourself transported to the magical, mystical place of a whirling, ecstatic poet. Man, those are the real words, boy. I tell you, when you go through this, it's so fun. It's such a fun journey with this madman that you just, you feel like you're following a man from La Mancha. You know, you're following Cervantes, a man from La Mancha, yeah. And Don Quixote. And that's exactly who you're following here. I don't know if anybody has ever read Don Quixote, but my God, that's one of the most, one of the funniest, it's one of the most hilarious books you'd ever read. It's brilliant. It was the first time I read it. In fact, I'd almost be willing to read it again this year, just for summer reading, because Don Quixote was a wild man. Cervantes was insane. But I loved Cervantes. And I got the same feeling from reading that as I did from reading this, from reading Rumi, to be the unbeatable foe, to the great musical and good songs, to reach the unreachable star. And that's the inspiration behind that song, along with that incredible play by, that incredible story by Cervantes, was able to capture everything about humanity and just hurl it right back at you, in the most amusing, the most silly, and at the same time, the most insidious and the most evil and the most belligerent of our society, faced against this majesty of madness, this fighting all the foes in the world. There are no foes. Your foe is in you. Nobody's really your enemy. You're your own enemy. You're just imagining it in your mind. You're paranoid. And so you're paranoid and possibly schizophrenic, because there's no question that. Don Quixote, rather, was not all there. I mean, nobody doubted that. The whole book was trying to prove his sanity, or insanity, if you will, but against the thinking of the times, which were, of course, during the Spanish Inquisition. And so it was quite a wonderful work. But I'm going into a book I didn't want to go into right now. But the fun of that book was similar to the fun of the works of Rumi, and maybe there's that Spanish influence, of course, the great influence of the Islamic culture on the Spaniards was quite remarkable. So Cervantes would have that flair. Which is something that I always admired, the Spanish flair, their strange connection that they have to reality, and it comes out in their work. And some great Spanish writers, and Federico de Lorca, I advise anyone to look up his works. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant poet. And of course he was gay, and he had all the foibles and problems of any expressed himself in a, probably one of the purest voices I've heard in many years when I first heard De Lorca. So I tip my hat off to the Spanish for their remarkable grasp of drama and language and understanding of the human mind. That's why, to me, the Arab influence has been a tremendous influence since my friend Dr. Cass Ingram, or actually as he goes, Dr. K, or Kasim Khalil is his real name, and he's a Christian, but a Muslim. He was a Muslim. I forget actually what his true faith is. He's kind of he's an idealist and a realist at the same time, and his connection to the Islamic faith is very deep. He wrote his interpretation, because he speaks fluent Arabic and so on, that his interpretation, he interpreted the Quran, right? And it was a New English translation of the Quran. And it's huge, two very large volumes. And I've had him on my radio shows many, many times over the many, maybe five or six years that we've had him. But he's always been a great guest, and I consider him kind of a friend. And he never gave me bad advice on anything. So my appreciation of his products, as well as of his concern, also of not only of his political courage, but his what can I say? He had a political courage, but also just a remarkable courage, a human courage, and he tries to tell it like it is. And about nutrition, about the people, and about the politics and what's happened. And he's very, very well researched man. So what I'm getting at is he opened my eyes to a whole new world of Islamic history and culture that I really was not aware of fully many years ago. But that has led me to greater understanding of Eastern mystics, and I've taken a much closer look at Islam as well, and in comparison to Christianity as well as Judaism. But you know, I kind of discount Judaism even though they're supposedly the antecedent of these two other religions, for some reason it doesn't work. Doesn't nail that up. So when I look at the Arab culture and the Arab mystics, which is what he is, it awakens you to a truth and to a part of a humanity that you have neglected or scorned before because of some reason, because they couldn't understand their name, or you couldn't pronounce their name, or you couldn't pronounce their countries. You know, you couldn't pronounce their language. It just seemed overwhelmingly foreign to us until the British entered and the French and started to and began to export that wonderful language of the Middle East, the languages of the Middle East. And of course, you know, the alphabet, as we know, is Arabic. The algebra, the numeric system, these are a brilliant a brilliant race of people that I would be proud to know as my brothers. You know, I would be proud to have them as brothers. You know, country and believe in fairness with, that's a wonderful, can't go wrong with that. That's brother to brother, sister to sister. And we stand together, in that I stand with all who listen to me, and I stand for all who listen to me, and to me, it's one and the same. For instance, I as I talk to you now, I'm visualizing this flowing, rippling, not river, but rivulet, coming down at me, and I see it as people. I mean, it's a vision, and I'm overwhelmed to receive that there's this water coming to me, this stream of different rivulets and waters coming to me, and it's a wonderful experience. But I also see ahead of me, I don't really see them for some reason. Like right now, I don't really see you. I can't see you because of their, of the radio, of course. But at the same time, I don't have to see you, just as you don't really have to see me to know me. And that's almost as though we're talking spirit to spirit, and we have no bodies, just pure intellect, pure eternal immortality, perfection of will, of spirit. If we could just talk that, if we can radiate that energy, then by God, I mean, who needs television? You know what I mean? I'd rather listen to radio, I'd rather listen to you communicating to me and me to you. And by doing that, we channel each other. We channel our energies. We channel our wills. We channel our our ways. We channel ourselves through me and me through you, like a circle. Circle of energy that's just like on a generator, just charging and recharging and recharging itself, so it never ever falls, without power. It never loses power, and that's what I wanted to talk about tonight. I was carried away with Rumi here.
God, there is only God, is the
one's substance, the other subheadings float within at various lengths. If one actually selected an essential Rumi, it would be the Zakir, the Z-I-K-R, the remembering that everything is God. Likewise, the titles of the poems are whimsical. Rumi's individual poems in Persian have no titles. His collection of quatrains and odes is called the Work of Shams of Tabriz and Divani Shamsi Talbriz. The six books of poetry he dedicated to the scribe Husan Chelebi are simply titled the Spiritual Couplets or Mathnawi, or sometimes he refers to them as the Book of Husan. And the wonderfully goofy title of the discourses in it is in it, what's in it, may mean what in or whether what's in the Mathani is in this too, or it may be the kind of hand thrown up gesture it sounds like. All of which makes the point that these poems are not mounted, are not monumental in the Western sense of memorializing moments. They are not discrete entities, but a fluid, continuously self-revising, self-interrupting medium. They are not so much about anything as spoken from within something, but it enlightened, call it enlightenment rather, an ecstatic love, spirit, soul, truth, the ocean of Ilm, I-L-M, divine, luminous wisdom, or the covenant of, alas, the original agreement with God. Names do not matter. Some resonate of ocean resides in everyone. Rumi's poetry can be felt as a salt breeze from that traveling inland. These poems are created not in packets and batches of art, but as part of a constant, practical, and mysterious discourse Rumi was having with a dervish learning community. The focus changed from stern to ecstatic, from everyday to esoteric, as the needs of the group rose. Poetry and music and movement were part of that communal and secretively individual work of opening hearts and exploring the mystery of union with the divine. And the form of this collection means to honor the variety and simultaneity of that mystical union. And most of the facts, dates, and chew toys for the intellect are stashed in the notes. Rumi put a prose prayer at the beginning of each book of the Mathnawi. Here's the blessing he gives before book four. Praise to early waking grievers. In the name of God, and most merciful, and the most compassionate, this is the fourth journey toward home, toward where the great advantages are wanting for us. Reading it, mystics will feel very happy, as a meadow feels when it hears thunder. The good news of rain coming, as tired eyes look forward to sleeping, joy for the spirit, health for the body. In here is when genuine devotions wants refreshment, sweet fruit ripe enough for the pickiest picker, medicine detailed directions on how to get to the friend. All praise to God. Here is the way to renew connection with your soul and rest from difficulties. The study of this book will be painful to those who feel separate from God. It will make the others grateful. In the whole of this ship is a cargo not found in the attractiveness of young men, of young women. Here is a reward for lovers of God. A full moon and an inheritance you thought you had lost are now returned to you. And more hope for the hopeful. lucky finds for foragers, wonderful things thought of to you, anticipation after depression, expanding after contraction. The sun comes out and the light is what we give in this book of our spiritual transcendence, our descendants. Our gratitude to God holds them to us and brings more besides, as the Andalusian poet Aldi Alriga says, I was sleeping and being comforted by a cool breeze, when suddenly a gray dove from a thicket sang and sobbed with longing, and reminded me of my own passion. I had been away from my own soul so long, so late sleeping, but that dove's crying woke me and made me cry. Praise to all early wakering grievers. And some go first, and others come long afterwards. God blesses those, God blesses both, and all in the line, and replaces what has been consumed, and provides for all, for those who work the soil with helpfulness, and blesses Muhammad, and blesses Muhammad and Jesus, and every other messenger and prophet. Amen, and may the Lord of all created beings bless you. So praise to early waking grievers by Rumi. Whoever brought me here will have to take me home by the tavern by Rumi. In the tavern are many wines, the wine of delight in color and form and taste, the wine of the intellect, agility, the fine port of stories, and the cabernet of soul singing. Being human means entering this place where entrancing varieties of desire are served. The grape skin of ego breaks and pouring begins. Fermentation is one of the oldest symbols of human transformation. When grapes combine their juice and are closed up together for a time in a dark place, the results are spectacular. And this is what lets two trunks meet so that they do not know who is who. Pronouns no longer apply in the tavern's mud world of excited confusion and half-articulated wantings. But after some time in the tavern, a point comes, a memory of elsewhere, a longing for the source, and the drunks must set off from the tavern and begin the return. The Quran says, we are all returning. The tavern is a kind of glorious hell, and human beings enjoy and suffer and then push off from their search for truth. The tavern is a dangerous region where some of the times disguises are necessary, but never hide your heart. Rumi urges, keep open there. A breaking apart, a crying out into the street begins in the tavern, and the human soul turns to find its way home. It's 4 a.m. Nasruddin leaves the tavern and walks the town aimlessly. A policeman stops him. Why are you out wandering the streets in the middle of the night? Sir, replies Nasruddin, if I knew the answer to that question, I would have been home hours ago. All day, I think about it. Then, at night, that was the end of that particular one. Who says words with my mouth? All day, I think about it. Then, at night, I say it. Where did I come from? and what am I supposed to be doing? I have no idea. My soul is from elsewhere. I'm sure of that, and I intend to end up there. This drunkenness again began in some other tavern. When I get back around to that place, I'll be completely sober. And meanwhile, I am like a bird from another continent sitting in this aviary. And the day has come when I fly off. But who is it now in my ear who hears my voice? Who says words and my mouth? Who says words with my mouth? Who looks out with my eyes? What is the soul? I cannot stop asking. If I could taste one sip of an answer, I would break out of this prison for drunks. I didn't come here on my own record, and I have leave to say, and I can't leave that way. Whoever brought me here will have to take me home. This poetry, I never know what I am going to say. I don't plan it. When I am outside the saying of it, I get very quiet and rarely speak at all. We have a huge barrel of wine, but no cups. That's fine with us. Every morning we glow, and in the evening we glow again, and say there's no future for us. There's right, and which is fine with us. A community of spirit. There is a community of the spirit. Join it and feel the delight in walking in the noisy street and being the noise. Drink all your passion and be a disgrace. Look both eyes to see with the other eye. Open your hands if you want to be held. Sit down in this circle. Quit acting like a wolf and feel the shepherd's love filling you. At night, your beloved wanders. Don't accept consolations. Close your mouth against food. Taste the lover's mouth in yours. You moan, she left me, he left me. 20 more will come. Be empty of worry. Think of who created thought. Why do you stay in prison when the door is not so wide open? Move outside the tangle of fear, thinking, live in silence, and flow down and down in always widening rings of being. There's a strange frenzy in my head, birds flying, each particle circulating on its own is the one I love everywhere. Drunks fear the police, but the police are drunk too. People in this town love them both, like different chess pieces. A children's game. Listen to the poet's Sanai, who lived secluded. Don't wander out on the road in your ecstasy. Sleep in the tavern. When a drunk strays out to the street, children make fun of him. He plays down in the mud, or rather he falls down in the mud, and he takes any and every road. The children follow, not knowing the taste of wine, or how his drunkenness feels. All people on the planet are children, except for very few. No one is grown up except those free of desire. God said, the world is a play, a children's game, and you are the children. And God speaks the truth. If you haven't left the child's play, how can you be an adult? And without purity of spirit, if you're still in the middle of lust and greed and other wantings, you're like children playing at sexual intercourse. They wrestle and rub together, but it is not sex. The same with the fightings of mankind. It's a squabble which play swords, not purpose, and not and totally futile. Like kids on hobby horses, soldiers claim to be hiding. Borak, Muhammad's night horse, or Daldal, his mule. Your actions speak nothing, and the sex and the war that you do. You're holding part of your pants and prancing around, dun da dun dun da dun. He's singing there, and don't wait till you die to see this. Recognize that your imagination and your thinking and your sense perception are reed canes that children cut and pretend are horses. The knowing of mystic lovers is different. Empirical sensory silence are like a donkey loaded with books, or like the makeup woman's makeup. It washes off. But if you lift the baggage rightly, it will give joy. And don't carry your knowledge load for some selfish reason. Deny your desires and willfulness, and a real mount may appear under you. Don't be satisfied with the name of H.U. Who, with just words about it. Experience that breathing from books and words. From fantasy, and sometimes from fantasy communion. Gone inner and outer, no moon, no ground or sky. Don't hand me another glass of wine. Pour it in your mouth. I've lost the way to my mouth. The wine we really drink is our own blood. Our bodies ferment in these barrels, and we give everything for a glass of this. We give our minds for a sip. The many wines. God has given us a dark wine so potent that drinking it, we leave the two worlds. God has put into the form of hashish a power to deliver the taster from self-consciousness. God has made sleep go that God has made sleep so that it erases every thought. God made Majnun love Lila so much that just her dog would cause confusion in him. There are thousands of wines that can take over our minds. Don't think of ecstasies as the same. Jesus was lost in his love for God. His donkey was drunk with barley. And drink from the presence of saints, not from those other jars. And every object, every being, is a jar full of delight. Be a connoisseur and taste with caution. Any wine will get you high, just like a king, and choose the purest, the ones unadulterated with fear, or some urgency about what's needed. Drink the wine that moves you, as a camel moves when it's been untied and is just ambling about. Burnt kebab. Last year I admired wines. This I'm wandering inside the red world. Last year I gazed at the fire. This year I'm burnt kebab. Thrust drove me down to the water. Thirst drove me down to the water where I drank the moon's reflection. Now I am a lion staring up totally, lost in love with the thing itself. Don't ask questions about longing. Look in my face. Soul drunk, body ruined. These two sit helpless in a wagon. Neither knows how to fix it. In my heart, I'd say it was more like a donkey, sunk in a mud hole, struggling and miring deeper. But listen to me. One moment, put inside. Their blessings, drippings, their blossoms around you, God. I think this is what made me so happy when I read it. I, like I said, I am so happy. Sounds silly here, but what made me continue reading Rumi was the tone of optimism that he has throughout the whole, all of his work, that slight, subtle tone. Just it's just enough to be entertaining. Allows a bit of a tickle before you get the real news, you know. But that's my my reason for enjoying his work. We have, I wanted to read another one. I have five, this is from a segment called Bewilderment. He says, I have five things to say on bewilderment. At the verge of full fana, which is annihilation in God, there seems to be a region of sweet confusion. The sense of being in many places are once saying multiple sentences, a hazy melting, fragile and nearly blank, profound ignorance within which conventional calm behavior seems insane. Rumi's poems are not well trimmed, Persian miniature gardens. They are more like a scholar, Anna Marie Schimmel says, the paintings in the Turkoman style, full of abrupt movement. Odd flowers and bushes, demons and talking birds. And the title of this poem is called I Have Five Things to Say. Awakened lover speaks directly to the beloved. You are the sky my spirit circles in, and the love inside love, the resurrection place. Let this window be your ear. I have lost consciousness many times, and longing for your listening silence and your life-quickening smile. You give attention to the smallest matters, my suspicious doubts, and to the greatest. You know my coins are counterfeit, but you accept them anyway. My impudence and my pretending. I have five things to say, five fingers to give into your grace. First, when I was apart from you, this world did not exist, nor any other. Second, whatever I was looking for is always you. Third, why did I ever learn to count to three? Fourth, why cornfield is burning? And fifth, the finger stands for Rabia, and this is for someone else, if there is a difference. Are these words or tears? Is weeping a speech? Or what I do, my love? What shall I do, my love? So we speak, and everyone around begins to cry with him, lazily, crazily, moaning in the spreading union of lover and beloved. This is the true religion. All others are thrown away in bandages beside it. This is the sima of slavery and mastery dancing together. This is not being. Neither God nor any natural fact can express this. I know these dancers. Day and night I sing their songs in this phenomenal cage. My soul, don't try to understand now. Find a friend and hide. But what can stay hidden? Love's secret is always lifting its head out from under the covers. Here I am. There's no way to get around it, folks, is what he's trying to tell you, I guess. And sooner or later, you know, you're going to come back around to the same thing. You usually make the same mistakes, and things keep just going around and around and around, and you wonder why, when really you don't have to wonder why, because even if things are, it shouldn't matter as long as you're happy, as long as you're happy. Like, if somebody does something every day, he does it usually because he enjoys doing it. It brings him some kind of reward. Why do I put a radio show on 4 nights a week? Because I know that it gives people time to check out what we said, and then or delete it. That's the fun about being on the internet. The fun about being on radio over, you know, an FM station, and proud to be read by hundreds of thousands of readers. And that's just, I mean, you can't get it much better than that. And except in numbers. So we're flattered about what's happening. And we hope that you try to enjoy the next season, the following seasons now. And that's what Sufis do. They attach themselves to the now, and you know, nothing else. Or if they're broken, if they've been broken somehow, then the positive is turned into a negative, and they're being held there, this negative power. Captured, if you will. People have become slaves or can't get their information out to any mainstream media. So it kind of tells you what's going on up there. I don't know. My time's almost up, but I wanted to. I may have been cut out early tonight because I'm a bit tired. My eyes are stinging a little. Let me see if I can find a small one to for you. Here's one called Where Are We? And I think this might be the last one. An invisible bird flies over, but casts a quick shadow. What is the body? The shadow of a shadow of your love that somehow contains the entire universe. A man sleeps heavily, though something blazes in him like the sun, like a magnificent fringe sewn up under the hem. He turns under the covers. Any image is a lie. A clear redstone tastes sweet. You kiss a beautiful mouth, and a key turns in the lock of your fear. A spoken sentence sharpens to a fine edge. A mother dove looks from her nest, asking where coo, where coo. And there the lines lies down. And many men and women go to cry, where the sick go when they hope to get well. And where a wind lifts that helps with winnowing, and the same movement, sends a ship on its way. Where anyone says only God is real, Ahu, there beyond where. A bright weaver shuttles flashes back and forth, east-west, where are we? Maku, Maku, like the sun saying, where are we? As it weaves with the asking. A friend comes into my body, looking for the center, unable to find it, draws a blade, strikes anywhere. There is a light seed inside. You fill it with yourself, or it dies. I'm caught in this crowing energy, your hair. However, calm and sensible is insane. Do not think I know what I'm doing, that for one breath or half breath, I belong to myself. As much as a pen knows what it is writing, all the ball can guess where it's going next. And I'm like busy with that one. Perhaps one more. The thirsty fish. I don't get tired of you. I don't grow weary of being compassionate toward me. All this thirst equipment must surely be tired of me. The water jar and the water carrier. I have a thirsty fish in me that can never find enough of what it's thirsting for. Show me the way to the ocean. Break these half measures, these small containers, all this fantasy and grief. Let my house be drowned in the wave that rose last night out of the courtyard, hidden in the center of my chest. Joseph fell like the moon into my well. The harvest I expected was washed away. But no matter. A fire has risen above my tombstone hat. I'm not going with them. This is how it always is when I finish a poem. A great silence overcomes me, and I wonder why I ever thought to use language. And with that, I will end tonight's show just a little early, but I'm getting rather hoarse. And so I hope that you enjoy that. Please join us tomorrow night when we speak with George Dixon. And we'll extend our studies in metaphysics and mind calendars and all other things. And check out our last week's show with George on Friday night. Friday Nights with George Dixon. Check it out in our archives. And we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you. Join us right here at 8 o'clock with George Dixon and Lila and myself.